Yes, it is that time of the week where we talk to our wonderful Sally Lucas. And I don't even know where we're going today, Sal. You're going to surprise me.
It's a mystery tour.
It is a mystery. Who went on the mystery tour? Wasn't that the Beatles?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Well, I'm going to start initially with our own beautiful country and talk a little bit about the Top End and some of the things you can do up there, ways of getting there, and then we'll just see how we go. I have got a little backup here, a little surprise, depending on how much of the Top End we get through.
Okay, it sounds good to me. I've never been to the Top End, so I'm looking forward to this one.
That's good.
More for my bucket list. And we're talking about the Top End of Australia.
We are. And I subscribe to Northern Territory Tourism, so they're always sending me through some interesting things. And even though I've been up there many times, I'm always learning something new or a new area that you can go to or visit. And what they did this time when they sent this email through to me, I thought it was Territory, the series, has anyone seen it, that was filmed on locations right across the Top End and at a genuine cattle station.
No.
Not watch it. You know, that Australian actor Robert Taylor, he's got one of those faces. He's a great actor. And I can't think of a female actress. Fabulous series. But anyway, they're saying, here's how you can see the best of the Territory for real. The real Territory, not the movie.
Right.
Oh, the series, should I say. But it is pretty good if you want to have a look at it, by the way. The first one I'll talk about is Nipmuluk National Park, which is one of the Top End's most popular parks. And that's Catherine Gorge is its, you know, anglicised name, if you like, for want of a better word. And yeah, it's a wonderful place because it's rich in walking trails. You can do a walking trail from there. My husband's done it. There's a five-day self. You do it on your own and you end up at Edith Falls. Beautiful walk you can do, and there's everywhere you camp. You sort of pace at you when you go and look at the information pack that you're always ending up at a waterhole. So you might have walked and you're hot, and then you've got these beautiful, crystal clear billabongs.
So you can go for a swim.
That you can cool off at the end of each day's walk. So there's some beautiful walks you can do that start and finish there. And of course, the actual gorge itself is stunning, as you can imagine, and it goes up in levels. And it's rich, of course, in the indigenous culture as well. So there are countless ways you can experience the gorge. You've got a rock art cruise with breakfast, you can do a sunset cruise with dinner. Beautiful lights off the rocks, all the hues, you know, different colour, either in the morning or in the evening. And you can also do what they call a Catherine Outback experience. So this is where they say, brush off your akubra and slap on your denim and be ringside and close where it's raw and real with action aplenty. Anyway, it's all about all things territory, and you've got working dogs and horses, the stars of the show. They have a singer-songwriter, country guy who's won 2 golden guitars. He's there as well. And it's 2 hours of music, storytelling and demonstrations. You learn what it takes to work with dogs and horses on a cattle station, hear from stockmen and stockwomen and so on. So there's so much you can do in and around that area. Also the Bumuru Plains, if you're in the Territory. Now this is up in the on the Mary River area, which is Kakadu, at the adjacent to Kakadu, if you like. And there's also a working buffalo station there that covers more than 300 square kilometres as well. And you can do game drives there, an open top jeep safari. You'll see buffalo, crocs, the famed blackneck stork, which is the jabiru, and you've got brolgas. You've got, you know, the wildlife at the Top End is astounding. It is, and it's not just about crocs. I mean, people talk about the crocs, sure, but you've got the bird life is just beautiful and amazing, like the seagulls, the size of them and their nests. You know, it just everything you can imagine is just wonderful. And you can stay up there, and there's a nice luxury glamping where you can stay on the banks of the Mary River and have a cocktail in the evening. So, you know, it's not just about, you know, red dirt. There's so much of the outback is beautiful as well. And there's other stations you can get to, like Finniss River Lodge, which is about 202 square kilometres, or about twice the size of Phillip Island in Victoria. And it's not far out of Darwin as well, where you can go there. And also, don't forget the swimming. When it's not croc season, you go up there after their summer, of course, and they make sure all the water holes, all the ranges going clear and you make sure you've got some of the most beautiful natural swimming holes. Like Berry Springs is less than an hour out of Darwin. We've talked about Catherine. There's hot springs there as well. Litchfield National Park, it's about an hour and a half out of Darwin. And you've got Florence Falls there, Wangi Falls, the Bewley Rock Holes, which just go down in tiers. They're just amazing. Just sit there with the water flowing over you and it's just beautiful.
It does sound beautiful.
So there's lots of things you can do, lots of Indigenous tours you can go on and lots of remote stations like even Bulow River. Remember Bulow River? That was a famous, what was her name, the lady that ran Bulow River? It's a massive property. It's closer to the West Australian side, though, to go there. I think it's about 1,650 square kilometres of outback cattle station. So you've got so much you can do in and around Darwin. And Darwin itself is very multicultural, very Asian influenced. A lot of Asian people came into Darwin at various times to work, etc. So your markets are wonderful, your food's fabulous. And if you haven't been to the top end, it's got a lot to offer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it sounds good to me anyway. Yep.
And just pick the right time of year, obviously. Don't go in November when it's the build-up. Please don't go in November. You'd kill me. You'd come back and I'd reckon I'd have death threats.
Yeah, too hot. Way too hot. Yeah, no, thank you very much. This is Talking Travel and we're talking about the top end of Australia and you've got a bit more to say, Sal.
I do. Kakadu, which of course we can't leave Kakadu out, being one of the most massive. It's Australia's second largest national park and you really need at least two, well, I would even say three nights there. There is so much to do. You can do a fabulous cruise on the East Alligator River up as far as Carl's Crossing. I know you often have croc sightings there and you see cars risking it going across the causeway.
Oh, no, thank you.
And even when after the wet, people are silly, you know, how people do silly things and think they can cross a causeway. But the water at the end of the wet, even a semi-trailer has been flipped over on that crossing. So if it's got water over it and a reasonable amount, don't go across. And if you get stuck, the crocs will be after you.
Exactly. You don't want that.
So you don't want that. But you can do a cruise, which is quite safe. So you can do a cruise there. And you can also do one, of course, at what we call Yellow Waters in that billabong there, which when we did it was just after the wet. We got there the first day it opened. It had opened late in the season because they'd had so much rain. This is probably about 3 years ago. And it was just magnificent. It was teeming with bird life. There were even paddy melons and wallabies at the water's edge. You know, there were brolgas. There was the jabiroo. There was everything you could imagine. It was all there. They have these birds. I often call them nicknamed Jesus birds because they're only tiny little birds and they on the lily pad leaves, they jump from lily pad to lily pad, like they're walking. Look, like they're walking on water.
Walking on water, that's fantastic.
Yeah, which are just really so cute to watch. So it needs a lot, and you've got some of the best rock art you're going to see in Kakadu as well. And there's a place called an ancient rock called Norlanji Rock, and if you go there at sunset, it's the most magnificent spectacle in front of you, and you look out over the plains. It's just magnificent. So there's so much you can do in Kakadu. It's a very old area, of course, and the rock art there is over 20,000 years old, and it's considered one of the oldest cultural records in the world. Now, the other thing you can do other than doing Kakadu as well, you can go across to Tiwi Islands to the north of Darwin, either by ferry or by air, and that's certainly worth a visit as well, to go across to the Tiwi Islands if you've got a time to do it. I would suggest flying is probably the easiest way of doing it, but there's so much to do there, including World War II history, because a lot of the people went there for safety when Darwin was had the crap being bombed out of it. Mm. So it was just a very important area for them to go there. So there's a lot of history, a lot of cultural history there as well. And they're very arty and crafty. Like there's a lot of beautiful materials they do their artwork on, obviously paintings, etc. And they do hand printing workshops and all that sort of stuff there as well. So, yeah, just to focus on that, there's so much to do in the top end, as I said. And, of course, you can get there on the wonderful Gan if you want to, as well as, you know, go that way one way and fly the other. That's another way of doing it, which is just fantastic. And, of course, you can do a longer trip on the Gan as well now, even up to 11 nights, where you've got stops along the way, then it gives you some options of things to do in Darwin as well. So you can have a little package, or you could just hop on the train, or you can fly. Well, obviously, if you're driving on a driving holiday, you're driving. But and of course, there are land tours as well. If you don't want to be independent, there's plenty of land tours covering all these areas I've talked about. So there's no so many options.
That's right.
Of how to do it, whether you want to do it independently. And we've always done it that way, but admittedly we've had friends live there and they've been our base and we've just, you know, hired a car and gone out and done our own thing. But obviously you could do a tour, as I said, as in day trips. You could base yourself in Darwin. You could. I still think you need more than a day in Kakadu, though. I really do. I think don't just go there for a day because it's over 3 hours drive.
Right.
So you're not going to – you'd have to be leaving at Sparrow and, you know, it's you're not going to get to see all of it and the beauty of it at sunset as well as early in the morning, because early in the morning is the best time to do the cruise, I think, and then but nighttime at the sunset, of course, to be there for that as well at Norlangi Rock. So at least 2 days, as I said before, in Kakadu would be great. But it deserves time, and I just hope we get some direct flights into Darwin. I know we've gotten to Perth and Hobart and Melbourne and Brisbane and Gold Coast and Adelaide, but look, Darwin would be great if we could have some direct flights into Darwin and give us the opportunity, you know, of getting there quicker and easier.
Well, fingers crossed one day.
Well, I'm hoping. Let's just hope, you know, as long as all these other flights get supported, I'd say it will happen in time.
Talking hot deals.
We're talking hot deals, but just a little travel alert, which is a good one. Beijing has just recently announced an extension of its visa-free entry scheme for Australians, amongst a few other nations, until the 31st of December next year. So that is really good. It's interesting, the countries not included are the UK, US, and Canada.
Very interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Mm. So that'll be a boost, I think, for Australians to not have to go to the hassle of getting visas now, which are quite complex online to do. So that's great. So it's 30-day visa-free. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
so,
well, I was just saying to you that my mum just got back from China, and she has been raving about it. She said it was fantastic.
No, so that's good.
Yeah.
Glad she enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, that's another one on my list now. The list is way too long.
Well, you won't want to do the next one because you've lived there, but experiencing Canada in winter.
Oh, yeah, no, been there, done that.
Yeah,
I would happily go back.
I know.
You know, someone's going to pay for me, but
pay for you, no.
There are other places that I'd like to go.
There's a nice little itinerary here that's just doing the Northern Lights Canada.
That's what I do want to do.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I went across and I was going to do. I wanted to go to Alaska and do it, and no, I did not. I did see a little bit of green in the sky from Calgary, I think. No, from up north in
Whitehorse?
No.
This is Whitehorse.
Not that far. Fort McMurray.
Oh, okay. And this is also taking you through the Rockies as well. So it's just a little 12-day adventure-packed sort of itinerary. So it's really great. And there's departures that go from December through to April next year. And that's doing the Northern Lights and places like, obviously, Jasper, Banff, Lake Louise.
Okay, I'm adding it to my list now again because Jasper and Banff are beautiful.
The walk at the Malign Canyon, the ice walk, you can go dog sledding, sleigh rides, snowshoeing.
If you're there
in those winter times, you're doing all the things that we never do here. I mean, obviously you can if we go down, but the snow there is totally different to the snow we have here, obviously.
Very much so.
So that's something really great.
And cold here is very different to cold there, just a heads up.
I had friends in Whistler. I've told you this story. We were down the Antarctic. We only got down to -5 and they were -27.
I was out and the car broke down in -40. So, yeah,
oh, my God.
Not fun.
Oh, your face would have frozen off.
Almost.
Now, there's a lot of sales still on at the moment that all happen around this Black Friday thing that happens. But anyway, this is with Regent Seven Seas Cruises. It is capacity controlled, so it ends 31 December, but obviously if it's sold out, you know, there won't be the capacity there. So the sooner you get in, the better. But really it's quite good because it's savings of up to 45% on their cruises and a range, not all of them, but on a range of their cruises. And also as a Black Friday bonus, they're giving a US $500 shipboard credit per suite on top of that. So that's not bad.
Good.
That's good value for money. Scenic have now introduced their 26-27 Asian river cruising and land journeys. They do a combination of doing the cruises through Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, but they also go to Japan as well as land journeys. So just keep those in mind. And they've got some early bird offers available on theirs as well for 26 and 27. Some of them are just like a 9-night cruise for the price of 7. Those sort of things, or some of them are saving up to $4,500 per person, depending on the length of the journey, or on the shorter ones up to $2,500. And on a land journey up to 900 per person. So you've got up till the 31st of March, though, so that's quite a lot of long lead-in time. Viking Cruises have still got their spring sale on. You fly free when you book a 26 to 28 river journey, or if you book an ocean or expedition voyage, your companion flies free. And that's available until the 1st of December as well, so that's good. Now, also Hurtigruten, or HX as they call themselves now, they've got a sale of up to 35% on their all-inclusive expeditions to Antarctica, the Galapagos, Svalbard, Greenland, Alaska and the Northwest Passage, and that's available for departures from 14 January 26 to 26 March 27, and bookings have to be made by 3rd of December.
Okay.
So some great savings to be had there, aren't there? So there's always a lot out there, particularly at this time of the year when we're getting towards the end of the year. They're, you know, getting you to sort of think ahead and lock yourself into a journey that's into the future, but you're getting great savings.
Oh, and some great places to go to.
Yeah, fabulous.
Exactly. Well, we'll have some more great places to visit next week.
We will.
Thank you very much, Sally.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.